Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when it sings of glory, I sing a new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. Well, I love to tell
be back in the book of Ruth again this morning, and if you remember, we've been talking about this. It's really a story of God's providential care, how even in the background, even when we don't know it, that things look bad and things look sometimes really horrible, and we think there's no hope, there's God's forgotten us, that God just is unleashed everything he's got. I've been reading through the book of Job. Job says, God's treated me bitterly. If I just had a chance to talk to him, I could plead my case. In the end, when Job gets through, he's got way more than he had to begin with. And he's a better man for what he went through. You know, and that's the hard thing to realize, that it's the tough stuff in life that makes us who we are, right? And even the service people, they know that, right? They put the people through the boot camp and all the crazy things they put them through. And the tough things are what make us who we are. Plus, they prove what we are as Christians. And so we saw in this story how a man named Elimelech takes his family down to Moab. And it's a picture of spiritual, I guess, him going down. And they're going away from God because everything's down from Jerusalem, everything's down from where they go from Bethlehem, and they go down into spiritual away from God, and as they go away, they intend just to stay for long enough to get a little bit of food, and they end up staying there 10 years, right? And during that time, Elimelech dies, and then his wife Naomi lets her two sons marry a Moabite woman, and which is forbidden against God's rules. Remember, God is not against races, but he was against the spirituality, because these were evil people as a general rule. Finally, Naomi hears that the house of bread has been visited by God, and that there's food back in Bethlehem, so she decides to go back, and on the way back, she tries to convince Ruth and Orpah to go back home. Orpah goes back, it says, to her people and to her gods. And Ruth says that your people will be my people, your God will be your God, where you live I live, and where you die I'll die. And she makes a covenant to stick with Naomi no matter what. And so when they get back to Bethlehem, they come back in, and all the women look and they see Naomi, and her name means pleasant, delightful, but her face has become bitter, and her whole disposition has become bitter. And so the people say, is this Naomi? The ladies say, is this Naomi? Because they see how she's changed. And the trials, instead of making her better, have made her bitter. Instead of letting God work in her life and trusting God in the hard things in life, she lets these things make her bitter. She says, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, because that means bitter. But little does she know, it says, now they came to Bethlehem at the time of the beginning of the barley harvest, and God is working in their lives. So we see in chapter 2, trying to get y'all caught up to speed, that it starts out, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth. There was a man whose name was Boaz. And he kind of leads off the chapter with that. Naomi is there and they're without food. And so Ruth decides to go out and glean in the fields. That was God's way of providing for his people, that he told the Jewish people to leave the gleanings in the field, the stuff around the edges. And you could tell how generous a man was by how much he left, because that was way of God's providing. And I think of all the food we throw away in America, throw into dumpsters and into trash cans from the restaurants and all the things, and how many people we could feed just cause of money, you know, and selfishness. But here they are, these, and Boaz is a generous man, and Boaz, you know, greets his laborers and says, "Blessed are you of the Lord." And they said, "The Lord bless you." And he's a godly man. And then he says, "Whose woman is this?" In other words, a woman should have been under protection of a man at that time, because remember, this is the time of the judges, and the people were doing what was right in their own eyes. And they said, "This is the young woman who came with Naomi, and she's been working hard in the fields, and she's only rested for a little short time, right?" Boaz stops Ruth and tells her, you know, "Don't go into any other fields and stay close to my maidservants." He provides for her. He protects her. And he says, you know, "Have I not commanded these young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go and drink from the vessel." So he wants to keep her close. And God's working in this situation. So she says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes?" And he says, "Because of all, we've heard of all the wonderful things you've done for Naomi since you came back, and that you're under the wings of God, that you have come under the wings of God." In other words, she's come into a relationship with God, and she's come under his covenant care. And as a mother chick or a mother bird would protect its babies, God has protected Naomi and he's protecting Ruth. And so that was kind of where we were at the last time. She says, then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." So in verse 14 today, we're going to see, start in verses 14 to 16, we're going to see God's continual care through Boaz, how he uses people to care for his people, right? And so in verse 14 it says, "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" So let's stop right there. We're going to see right now, we're going to see God's continual care through Boaz. So what happens, first of all, in verse 14, Boaz says to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread." Now she's a stranger. Remember, she's a foreigner and she's from another country. But he invites her to come eat with his people, with him, and even to eat of the bread and dip her bread into the vinegar. Now, I don't know exactly what all the vinegar was, but it was some kind of sour wine mixed with oil, and I guess it was a special treat that made the bread good. And that's something I don't know a whole lot about, eating the bread with the vinegar and oil on it, but that's what they did at the time, and it was kind of a special treat. So he offers her this. He invites her to eat. And then what does he do here? So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. So the second thing he does is, so first of all, he's gracious to her, right? He lets her dip her bread in the vinegar and dips from the bowl, and that's a term of, I guess, a sign of warmth and acceptance and fellowship, even though she's a foreigner, right? And, you know, that's what we should do as the church. We should be warm and gracious and accepting of everyone, right? We don't have to like the way people live, but we need to be gracious to people. We need to love them the way God loves us. We sang that first song, we love God because He what? First loved us, right? And that's what the Bible says. So if we love other people, then they will see how we love them and how we have love for God. And hopefully they'll learn to know the Lord like we do if they don't know the Lord. But this is a mark of maturity, that not letting races and money and all these things that we let us separate us today. So many times we're separated by so much stuff, and we just let all these little things, as one man said, that we put labels on people like designers put labels on shirts and pants and stuff, don't we? We label people and we say they're this and that and the other, and we automatically dismiss them or won't have anything to do with them or just ignore them or look down on them or whatever. But we shouldn't be doing that. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 9, God said to the Jews, He said, "And you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt." You know, we should be welcoming. We were talking with a guy last night. He was talking about how there was a new couple in the church that he met, and he sat there and talked to him in the parking lot, and then they drove off, and he went, "Well, that was dumb. I should have invited them to go out to some lunch or something like that and had some fellowship," you know. And sometimes we miss those opportunities. You know, we shake hands or greet people, but then people go off by themselves and we don't invite them to come eat lunch with us or hang out with us or be part of our group. Sometimes people are excluded. So we need to be gracious like He was. So He invites her to eat, and then He serves her personally. Now think about this, because she's a foreign woman, they some of them might have been saying, "Well, why is she sitting down here eating with us, you know? Who does she think she is?" But when Boaz comes up and he serves her personally and you know, allows her to dip in the bowl, you know, it's okay. I guess, you know, they have that custom. I guess, I don't know, years ago they used to have the old fondue things, I guess, and sometimes we go out to a Mexican restaurant, we have some salsa or some cheese dip or something like that, you know, we dip, but we don't really go for this double dipping. But in some of the cultures, you know, they literally, one person will get on one side of the bowl and eat, and another person will eat out the other with a different spoon, right? And they literally share the food at the same time. So He gives her preferential treatment. He provides abundantly. And what does it say she does? That she ate and she was satisfied in verse 14, and she kept some back. She didn't just stuff all the food down her, but she, you know, He gave her enough food that there was some leftover, and she took a doggy bag home. She took it home to Naomi, right? She didn't just eat it all or throw it away. So she wasn't wasteful. She was diligent to work, but she also didn't waste anything God gave her. Boaz gives her this preferential treatment. It says in verse 15, "And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also let grain from the bundles fall purposely far, leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" He tells them just let things deliberately fall, let them glean among the people who are actually reaping. In other words, she can just walk through the grain fields as they're reaping, and she can get whatever's there. And so what is she doing? She's allowing her to go way above. He's allowing her to go way above and beyond what the law states. The law states that when the reapers were through, then the gleaners could come through. But she's letting her go right along with the reapers and saying, "Okay, purposely drop some food for her. You know, purposely drop some bundles of stuff for her so she can have plenty of food." And he wants to make sure that his people know that she has permission to do this, right? He allows that to happen. Notice what she does here. She lives by faith, but she also works hard. You know, I think about that God tells us to live by faith, but also to work hard, right? The second thing we see is starting in verse 17, where it says that we see God's abundant contribution for Naomi through Ruth. It says in verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until the evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, so she brought out and gave to her what she'd kept back after she had been satisfied. And then her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. Let me stop right there. I only wanted to go through verse 17 and 18 right this second. So what happens here? Boaz, by allowing Ruth to work, he preserves her dignity, right? And now there's some people today that don't want to work. They say they work, they want to hold up these signs, they work for food, but what they want to do, they want you to mainly just give them something, right? But she was willing to work. You know, sometimes people want to work and they want to preserve their dignity. They don't want you to give them a handout, but they want to work and be able to get something. So she's working hard, and he's preserving her dignity. He's permitting her to hang out with the maid servants and protect her. And he's just being very graceful. I mean, he's showing the kind of love that God has for us. That's that word grace. That's in the Old Testament. It's hesed. It means God's covenant love, his great love for us. So she works hard. And I know some of y'all probably know, I've worked in a field in the past and up in Twin City where, you know, I'm going today for family reunion. You know, we worked in tobacco and we hoed the cotton fields and picked tobacco and different things and worked out in those fields, picked corn and all these different things. That's hard work. You know, get out in those hot fields, especially when it's as hot as it is right now, right? You get out there in those hot fields and it's like that over there. And she works all day. And she's out there all day long working hard in this field, and she works till evening. When she gets through, it says here, she beat out what she had gleaned. She worked till evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So when she gets through working all day, she's not only got to, she's worked all day, but now she's going to go beat out what she's gleaned, right? And I'm sure that's hard work, too. I've never beat any barley out, but I've shucked a lot of corn and silked it and all those things and done a lot of different things, but that's hard work. And when she gets through, it says she got about an ephah of barley. Now, don't know exactly how much an ephah of barley is. From what I can tell, reading different people, could have been 10 days to 2 weeks' food. It was maybe 30 to 50 pounds of grain. That's a lot of grain for a woman to carry back to the house. But the commentators were all over the place on how much this actually was. So, but it was enough for a good little while for these two women. So God provides abundantly through Ruth's hard work. It says in verse 18 that her mother-in-law said to her, 18, then she took it up, went to the city, and saw her mother-in-law saw what she gleaned, so she brought out and gave to her what she kept back after she'd been satisfied. So she gives to her mother-in-law the leftover food, or brings her a doggy bag. And in verses 19 to 23, we're going to see the fact that of God's counsel from Naomi. Just remember in these previous verses that Naomi's not being, Ruth's not being selfish, that she's keeps part back for her mother-in-law. And, you know, she's remembering that part that God says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these other things will be added unto you, right? You know, if we just put God first in our lives, it'd solve most of our problems, wouldn't it? Not saying that everything's going to be wonderful and everything's always going to be perfect, but even during the tough times, if we made sure that we kept God in the right place, life would be a whole lot easier. One more verse, Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. That's a general principle from the Word of God, that God takes care of his own, doesn't he? And so now we see in verses 19 to 23, God's counsel from Naomi. So the mother and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today and where did you work? Blessed be the name, be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said, "This man is a relative of ours, one of our close relatives." Let's stop right there. She asks where she's gleaned, and Naomi tells her that where she's been, and that the guy's name is Boaz. And at this point, all of a sudden, Naomi's bitterness turns to praise. She's beginning to see that God has not forgotten her, that God is still working behind the scenes, that he's taking care of them. She's bitter, but now she's giving blessings. And two times she gives this word blessed. She blesses somebody. And she did it earlier in the previous chapter, and here she does it again. And here she goes, and she says she's blessing their benefactor, who is Boaz, and she also blesses the Lord here. And so when she sees that grain, she blesses Boaz and she blesses the Lord. And now this change is taking place in her heart, that she realizes that there's a new hope because God is taking care of him. But how's he taking care of him? Through God's people, right? She had hope because of who Boaz was. Who is he? She says here, he's one of our close relatives. He was a near kinsman who was wealthy, he was influential, and as we see later, he's a kinsman who can rescue them from their poverty and give them a new beginning. She also has hope because of what Boaz did, because he showed this great kindness and to Ruth, and also by showing it to Ruth, he shows it to Naomi, and she says to the living and the dead. And so she's also saying that because of what Elimelech's done, that he's caused all these problems, and now Boaz is actually showing kindness to the dead, the living and the dead, because he's going to redeem the things that Boaz has done. Elimelech has done, and he's going to kind of solve problems for him where he created problems. And then she also had hope that grew even stronger because of the words of Boaz. She realized that Boaz cared for Ruth and he had a desire to take care of her and to make her happy. What does she say in her verse 19? She says, the last part, she says, 21, "Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field.' So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law." Naomi blesses her benefactor and she prays that Yahweh, Jehovah, God would bless him. And then she talks about the fact how he's a kinsman redeemer. And we've talked about that a little bit in the past, but over in Leviticus and Deuteronomy 25, verse 5 through 10, what happens is when a family member died. I guess, I don't know if you remember the story in the New Testament where the Pharisees, the Sadducees who say they don't believe in the resurrection come and say, "What if a man marries a woman and he dies without a child, and then his brother marries him, and his brother marries him, and his brother marries him, and there's six men that die, and then each brother marries him?" And what happened was God provided a way for a man's legacy to be carried on and his property to be kept within his family. Because if a brother wasn't married, what they would do was that brother would marry his brother's widowed wife and take care of her. And the children he had with her would become the children who would carry on that legacy of not only his family, but also of his brother's family. And that property would stay in the family. That was a way of keeping the property in the family and providing for the family and taking care of the family and protecting the family. Somewhere along the line, the Jews said it wasn't only the brother but it also would be, could be a near kinsman. It didn't have to actually be a brother that could do this. And we don't know exactly when they did that, but this was the custom in Ruth's time. Naomi knows that, Boaz is a close relative, and he can be that kinsman redeemer. Remember, the kinsman redeemer is really a picture of who Jesus Christ is. Because Jesus, he provides and he protects and he takes care of us. And that's what Boaz is doing here. She gives him this counsel and says, you know, basically, this is who he is and, you know, this is what can happen. And then she says, stay close to the young men until they finished all the harvest. And we see the beauty of Ruth's character here because she didn't view her relationship with Boaz as a way out of her responsibility to provide for herself and her mother-in-law, but she rejoices that she can continue to just, you know, do her duty in safety. When she sees it in verse 22 that she says, my good, my daughter, you go out with these young women and people do not meet you in any other field. And she may be talking about protection somewhat, but I think she's just saying, you know, this is the man that's going to provide, protect, and redeem the family land. Because see, Elimelech's probably, excuse me, mortgaged his property when he left to go to Moab. And Boaz can buy this property back. And when he buys this property back, what does he do? He also is obligated to marry Ruth. Now, and so that's what's going to happen. We'll see that later on in chapter 3 as this unfolds. But that's kind of the law of levirate marriage. And so she says, stay close to this man, stay protected, stay close that you'd be protected, but mainly because this is the man who's going to provide, protect, and take care of us. That's what's going on here. Basically what happens is she says that she stays until the end of the harvest, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. What's going on here? She stays another 6 or 8 weeks because the barley comes in at one time and a little bit later on, the wheat comes in. And that's the way it works. It doesn't come in at the same time. And so as we look in chapter 2, what we see is this is marking God's initial blessings on Ruth for her faith in God. And she receives blessings and becomes a blessing to Naomi. You know, when we're faithful to God, he does that, right? He blesses us, but he blesses the people around us. They come through Boaz, and yet more blessings are yet to come. We haven't finished this book yet. But it's encouraging to see how Naomi goes from bitterness to praise. Her unbelief becomes faith and her despair turns into hope. And because of one person, Ruth, trusting the Lord and obeying his will, changed this situation from defeat to victory. She just didn't sit on her rear end and say, I'm not going to do anything. You know, some people say, let go and let God. Well, you know, you let go and you let God, but you also get out there, you pray like it's all up to God, and you work like it's all up to you, as one man said. Ruth's faith in God's word led her to the field of Boaz. Boaz's love for Ruth allows him to pour out his grace upon her and meet her needs and also Naomi's needs. A couple little lessons here. Number one, when we show obedience to God's word, his character is displayed. When we show obedience to God's word, his character is displayed. You know, as that verse, Matthew 5:16 said, let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and do what? Glorify our Father who's in heaven. God shows justice to the widow and the orphan through us. He says in James 1, he says, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the widows and the orphans in their need, right? Now today, widows and orphans in some sense are more taken care of. Some of them are. Than they used to be because of the fact that we have Social Security and retirements and all these things. But remember back in these days that a widow and an orphan was totally at the mercy of whoever because they had no way to provide to take care of themselves. Not saying today that the widow and orphan still aren't in tough shape. But what happens is God uses us when we obey. He displays his character the way we show justice to other people. And if we began to show more justice to other people who really didn't deserve it, and we would love them anyway, imagine how this world would change. He also displays the character of God to these women through His provision. And then the last thing is that God's love transcends all barriers. That God's prohibition is only against spiritual barriers, not racial nor status. That when we look at people, that we need to love them like God does. But sometimes we have to separate because of the things that they will not believe that God has shown them. You know, in Acts 17, 26 and 27 it says, "And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of the dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each of us." In other words, God has made from one blood Adam and Eve, and that one, everybody came out of that one group. We're all one people. I don't care what we look like. I don't care what color we are. I don't care how much money we have, how much we don't have. But all of us came from one group of people. So there's no reason for us to have any racial or economic or social status barriers. You know, some people say, "Well, my family came over on the Mayfair. My family this, my family that." I say, "Well, hey, Jesus is in my bloodline. I'm a son of Jesus Christ. You know, can you top that?" I'm a child of the King, right? Just remember, when we're a child of the King, guess what? God takes care of us, right? We were talking about that yesterday and talking about sometimes, you know, how bad things look here in the U.S. and all, and things look kind of bad sometimes, and we just say, "Well, you know," I said, "well," as I heard another guy say, "the worst thing that happened to us, we can starve to death and go to heaven early." That'd be a bad thing, wouldn't it, to go to heaven a little early? So Paul said, "I'm hard pressed between the two. I don't know whether to go to heaven and to be with Christ is gain, but it's better if I stay here with y'all right now." But he said, "It wouldn't be a bad thing if I could go on and go to heaven right now. It'd be great." Just remember that God's taking care of us behind the scenes. We are going to have trouble. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to go through hard things. But if we'll keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we need to remember that when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and keep our attitudes in the right place based on trust in Him, that makes things a whole lot better in this old life. So let's trust Him, and let's let our light shine for Him and show God's love to other people. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for everything You've done for us. We love You. We praise You. We thank You that You do take care of us, and that no matter what, that You're always working behind the scenes. Father, we love You, and we thank You, and we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why don't we sing that song I was looking for, Child of the King.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved. Be loved to me.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ.
And he is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually, are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.